Episode 43, NFL Draft Podcast. Hi, Stan.
What's up, Rob?
How are you?
Hot.
Yep. It is, 95 degrees today in New York, Tuesday?
And the sun's down.
Yeah.
This is dumb.
Yeah, it's nighttime. Had to turn the fan off.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because we're here to talk. 2018 NFL Draft.
2018 NFL Draft. Wide receivers.
Wide receivers today. We did quarterbacks 2 weeks ago. Running backs last week. We are on the receivers, and it is an interesting receiver class. At least it looks like it should be an interesting receiver class going into the year. We have the big names. Probably not as big as we're used to, but then again, who would really... I loved Corey Davis heading into the year, but who would have seen him getting drafted fifth overall? Probably not that many. I thought I was really high on him. I had him as wide receiver one. I finished with a top 10 grade on him, but... I mean, five, that's rich.
No, yeah. When we started doing those games, well, when we started...
Those previews.
Yeah. And, you know, what stuck out to me about Corey Davis was those Tuesday night games when, you know, he would ball out while we were recording. And I'm wondering who could be that guy this year. Who's going to be that small school guy that receiver that nobody really watches on Saturday that could break out and potentially get drafted fifth overall, like a Corey Davis.
That's pretty rich.
Yeah.
That's pretty rich. If you want to talk about a small school guy, Anthony Miller of Memphis, he's a guy that I have on my radar. He's not as, you know, Davis was weird because he was 6'3", he had looked like the speed, they're running after the catch. When you're talking about a small school guy, you're usually thinking, you know, one way or the other. Maybe he's small, but he's got a lot of speed. Maybe he's, you know, big, but by the time he's being recruited, he wasn't thought of having the entire package. Anthony Miller of Memphis, he's a small guy. Do you count SMU as a small school?
I would say so.
All right. Well, Courtland Sutton,
yeah,
by most people's estimation, comes in as wide receiver one, so I guess that's a good place as any to start.
Is he your wide receiver?
No, he's not.
He's not mine.
I really liked him last year, like towards the draft. Like the difference between him and Mike Williams is negligible.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a little bit of extra work on him in advance of this pod, well, a couple weeks ago in advance of all these previews. He's a little bit stiff on his routes. He's not totally explosive. You're going to have to wait to see how he runs to see if he's got real speed or if he's playing at SMU and happens to be 6'4" and 220 pounds or whatever it is. I mean, his numbers are off the charts. Let's see if I can just pull them up. He had 76 catches for 1,246 yards, 10 touchdowns last year. As a sophomore, he had 9 touchdowns the previous year as a freshman. And he's a big guy, and he's going to get in the end zone, but is not wide receiver one for me, even though there are, like, you know, Matt Miller's scouting notebook, if he would have come out and he was eligible as a redshirt sophomore, said he could have been the first receiver taken. You know,
that's interesting.
Could have been right up there with Mike Williams. A lot of people have made that comparison. He's a big guy, goes up and gets the ball. Good hands, supposedly.
All right. So who is your number one?
Surprise, actually. I thought it was going to be Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's kind of been my guy since he was a freshman. I didn't dock him too much last year for the rough year. Jalen Hurts just wasn't getting the ball to the wide receivers in the same way that... And he didn't really need great quarterbacking to get the ball, but there was definitely a drop in production last year with the read option. But Deion Kane of Clemson is my number one receiver. This guy is unbelievably smooth coming out of his breaks. He has deep speed. He's not that big. None of these receivers... I mean, Courtland Sutton's big, and Alan Lazard and Simi Cobbs, who we'll probably get to later, are a little bit bigger, but they're not on the same level. Kane looks like the type of player who might have that deep speed, might be able to, you know, make plays after the catch, get open underneath coverage, and really press the defense in a way more similar to Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham than maybe, or Sammy Watkins would probably be the closest comp from, you know, being that he's a recent guy from Clemson who went, I don't know, what did he go, fourth overall or fifth overall to the Bills. I think Kane has that type of potential. I mean, he's He's not going to grow 3 inches and become that, you know, Mike Evans type prospect, but he really does a lot, and he was really utilized in Clemson's national championship winning team.
My number one is Calvin Ridley.
I can't blame you there.
I mean, he's listed at, what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, he's 6'1". He's not big. He's a speedy guy. His freshman season was unbelievable.
Yeah. So, you know, it's almost like who was the LSU receiver that went in the seventh? You kind of have to go back and watch older film to kind of get a sense of what kind of player this is. Like you mentioned before, he didn't have the best season, but that's essentially because of the quarterback play. I kind of want to backtrack a little bit. The Clemson receiver,
right?
Deion Kane.
Yes.
Now, this is going to be a season where this is a transition for him and quarterback.
Right, new quarterback and no Mike Williams there to draw the double spotlight. Team. I know they're going to have plenty of receivers, but
do you see any drop off in production?
No, there definitely won't be a drop off in production. This is a guy who had 34 catches as a freshman, 38 catches last year as a sophomore. I feel like it could only go up with the opportunity. He's not going to catch less passes.
Right.
But he did average over 19 yards catch last year. 38 catches, 724 yards. Like that's a big number of yards compared to the amount of catches he had. And he scored 9 times. I expect this guy to continue getting into the end zone.
I'm just interested because it is a quarterback change. It's the first time he's playing with a different quarterback. So, I mean, I don't think it'll make that much of a difference. But
hey, it made a big difference for Calvin Ridley.
That's true.
And it might be a little bit overstated. He went over 1,000 yards as a freshman on 89 catches. He was 72 for 769 as a sophomore. He had 7 touchdowns each. But he started off his freshman year really not on the field, and he only took over when injuries kind of forced him to be like the main option. And he was a terror down the stretch. There might be a quarterback change again in Alabama. I don't know if you've kind of heard the rumblings that, because they have that big 5-star quarterback, Tua something. You know how to pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, right?
We talked about him when we talked about National Signing Day.
Yeah.
It's a long Samoan name.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Tagovailoa.
That guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see if he unseats Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts came in with a lot of hype too.
I mean, Jalen Hurts was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a true freshman.
Yeah, I think he was also a 5-star recruit. So
I'm sure he was.
I mean,
very interesting.
We'll see.
But, all right, so this is interesting. This is, again, kind of like the quarterback podcast. You know, Saquon Barkley was the best running back, but when we did the quarterbacks, you know, my guy was Josh Allen. Your guy was Sam Darnold. And not that Josh Rosen is the consensus number one pick, but he's kind of like that third guy that a lot of people have ranked one. With the receivers, you like Calvin Ridley. I like Deion Kane. A lot of people are in on Courtland Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of make up the top three.
So, all right. I want to throw some names at you.
All right.
Start with Christian Kirk, Texas A&M. A lot of people have him number one.
Right. He'd probably be the fourth guy in the mix. Although I think that, not saying that not a lot of people have him too, might not have him ahead of like Deion Kane, or if they have Courtland Sutton first, have him ahead of Ridley as the number two. Haven't seen him as one in as many places, but he's certainly going to be in that conversation. He's just another short guy. You get him the ball on screens, you get him the ball deep. He can kind of do it all. He's been really effective as a punt returner. He's got 5 punt return touchdowns in 2 seasons at Texas A&M. Had 80 catches as a freshman, 83 as a sophomore on an offense that was really an equal opportunity offense with a lot of players getting their hands on the ball. So he has a great chance to be, you know, taken in the first round pretty high.
How about this? His nickname, Baby Beckham.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
The comparison is there because he's 5'11". He's, you know, he's a speed guy. I mean, it's a tough comparison to make because of the production Odell Beckham has had.
But that's gonna be what these guys get compared to now, because as you see, for so many years, at least I was used to, receivers getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now more recently I'm seeing a lot of these guys coming in at 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot and being number one receivers when, I mean, that was kind of unheard of, period, for like a stretch of maybe 6 or 7 years at the college level or the NFL level. Like number one receivers were just 6'2" or taller. And it's kind of just going back the other way. NFL cyclical. Speaking of another guy, 5'11", Antonio Callaway. He has, you know, superstar potential. He's been in a little bit of trouble at Florida. He hasn't had quite the production that like Christian Kirk has had, but he came out as a freshman. He was able to get open deep. He was able to get open over the middle. He really flashed potential. He's another guy who has a chance to be a first-round pick.
He's also another one of these guys that, you know, might have struggled because of inconsistent play at quarterback. You talk about the revolving door quarterback of Florida for the past couple of years. I mean, you know, now going into the season, they should know who the guy is.
Who just transferred there? Was it Malik Zaire?
Nah, I think he's still at Notre Dame, isn't he?
They just got a transfer.
They've had somebody transferred out, didn't he? I mean, didn't what's his name leave?
I don't know. I know Luke Del Rio's still there.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. But he got hurt. I'm trying to think of who the other guy was.
Nope. Malik Zaire is transferring to Florida, and I assume that he'll be the starter as
grad transfer?
As a grad transfer.
Interesting. All right. Well, I mean,
he beat out DeShone Kizer.
He did. That, I mean,
briefly at least.
Well, that, but then again, you know, you never can tell what's going on in South Bend when.
No, you cannot.
Brian Kelly's running the show.
Here's another guy I really like. I'm not sure where I have him yet. He's a guy that I liked last year who decided to stay for a senior season. That's James Washington,
the speedster
at Oklahoma State. I mean, just this guy's got 26 touchdowns in 3 years, including double digits the last 2 years. This guy's been over 1,000 yards 2 years in a row. He averaged over 20 yards per catch as a sophomore, 19.4 last year as a junior.
Do you trust Oklahoma State receivers?
Yes. Why would I not? Because of Justin Blackman?
There's another one. Oh, wait, Dez.
Nope. They got Dez.
Yeah.
I have tremendous faith in Dez, and I always will.
Okay. All right.
And this guy, he's just, I don't know what he's going to run in the 40, but he plays bigger than his 6'1 frame. And he just gets deep on people all the time. And Mason Rudolph loves to throw it deep. I can't imagine that skill set isn't going to be attractive to some NFL teams.
Paris Campbell, what do you think?
I have no opinion on Paris Campbell. Did Paris Campbell even really play? What did he do?
I mean, he only had 13 receptions for 121 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to count out anybody who Urban Meyer recruits, but I don't have much to say about Paris Campbell. Two big guys. And I'm talking about, you know, we talked a lot of short guys here. Two guys that are, you know, 6'4 and 6'5. Simi Cobbs at Indiana, which is basically a small school at this point. You know, 6'4. He was a guy who was on my radar last year. He missed the whole season of injury. In 2015, he kind of broke out. 60 catches for over 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns. Speedy guy at 6'4". Somebody to look out for.
Kind of name is Simi.
A weird one. A weird name.
Okay.
And then Alan Lazard is not a guy who was on my radar, but a guy who was kind of pushed onto me at part of this process. Been incredibly productive for Iowa State. He's 6'5", 220-plus pounds. And, I mean, in 3 years, he's going into a senior year. In 3 years, 170 catches, over 2,400 yards, 16 touchdowns. Guy can do a lot, and he's the guy who probably should be what I mentioned about Corey Davis going high. I mean, when you're 6'5", you got enough speed, and you got that kind of production, he's got a chance to kind of burst into the top 10 picks. Really, on size alone.
Any thoughts on DJ Clark? He's another, like, LSU receivers for the next couple years, you're just not going to be able to.
LSU receivers, my hands are in the air. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you about an LSU receiver.
Here's an interesting one. Only because 2 weeks ago we talked a lot about quarterbacks, obviously. Sam Darnold, you know, is the guy, for me at least, Deontay Burnett.
I think it's interesting. Of course, we kind of made fun of that USC receiving core last year a lot.
It's true.
Even with Juju Smith-Schuster, who we kind of ended up being down on, I still think Adoree Jackson was the best receiver on that team. I don't know what that says for Deontay Burnett. Really what it says is that he's got a lot to prove, and he's going to have the quarterback to, you know, give him the opportunity to prove it, but he still needs to do it. I know you wanted to talk about Deebo Samuel.
I do, because he's got the best name in this receiver group.
All right.
South Carolina, 6 feet, 205. I mean, I don't really watch too much South Carolina football these days.
I know, you just picked him for the name.
That's it's a great name.
And I didn't want to end the receiver section on you saying, admitting that you haven't watched his film, but yeah, Deebo Samuel, he's on my watch list. Not even the guy I'm really most excited about, but I do want to stop for a second and talk about Dante Pettis. John Ross, he was the big guy in Washington. He ran the 4.22. He was a speedster. Dante Pettis is not going to be able to live up to that.
No.
However, Pettis is also should be considered a speedster. Washington didn't do what you would normally think is send one guy deep, send another guy over the middle. They just sent them both deep the whole time. So John Ross had like 1,000 yards and 17 touchdowns, and Dante Pettis had 850 yards and 15 touchdowns. Assuming that, yeah, of course he got some single coverage because of Ross on the other side, but he's going to get a lot more targets this year as the main guy there. If he runs that, you know, 4.4, he doesn't have to be a 4.22, but if he's in that 4.4 range, he'll get serious looks as a deep threat, especially with Jake Browning not getting a lot of credit in terms of his arm strength and ability to push a guy open deep.
How tall is John Ross?
5'11", 5'10".
So Dante Pettis is listed as 6'1".
Right.
185, though.
Yeah, he's a speedster. They're not throwing Dante Pettis slants. He's getting wheels and nines and seams.
Yeah, but like, you know, 10 months from now, when we're talking about, you know, like the way we talk about John Ross with the medicals and the nagging injuries and things like that, I mean, are we going to be talking about Dante Pettis the same way?
John Ross went ninth, so we talk about it a lot. We talk about it as much as we want.
That's a good point.
I mean, he
went ninth because of the 4.22, though.
All right, so what if Dante Pettis is a 4.35? You think that, like, think he's going to last until round four because he's skinny?
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
If he could run, he could run. I mean, there's a lot of other receivers that are going to be, you know, in the mix. I think you talked about Deebo Samuel because of his name.
Yeah.
I like Torrey Hunter Jr. for Notre Dame.
Yep, just looking at that too.
However, and this is basically because of the name, he's not the Notre Dame receiver I'm most excited about.
Are you talking about David Robinson's kid?
No, I'm talking about Equanimeous St. Brown.
Oh man, he was a big recruit.
He's a big recruit. He's a real tall guy, and he supposedly has some speed. So he's the kind of guy that I'm just kind of watching, seeing if he can make a jump. Jamon Moore from Missouri is a guy who really has a chance. People really liked him last year, and he's on the watch list. There's a bunch of guys.
Ricky Prohl's kid is draft eligible.
Yeah, Ricky Prohl's kid's Austin there. Cole.
He's going to get a lot of targets.
Are we just going to assume that he's taking Switzer's role?
Yeah.
It's a little racist.
I mean, it's not, because that's the offense. He's going to 10 catches for 13 yards. 1.3 yard per catch. It's going to be great.
Unbelievable. Yeah, so there's other guys. Richie James out of Middle Tennessee. I like to see what Saeed Blacknell does out of Penn State and Deshaun Hamilton out of Penn State. I don't know which one of those guys is going to get the bulk of the targets, but I'd be happy to be Trace McSorley's number one receiver.
Yeah.
Michael Gallup out of Colorado State, Bryce Bobo out of Colorado. There's a lot of guys that are in that, you know, maybe third or fourth tier that have some upside worth being excited about.
I'm trying to, I mean, could Robert Forster make a push?
Yeah, once again.
Foster, I'm sorry, I said Forster.
Yeah, it's all right. Once again, depends how many targets are, you know, available in that Alabama offense.
Switch quarterbacks might be a lot more.
I don't know that Tua Tagovailoa, whose name I'm going to butcher probably for the next 3 years.
Can't wait.
Is going to be a tremendous improvement as a pocket passer over Jalen Hurts. I think that he's a five-star recruit, kind of, because he's just Jalen Hurts.
Everything I've seen on film of Tua is, yeah.
He's a mover and a shaker.
Yep. Not a lot of pocket passing in his highlights. Yeah. But we'll see.
Well, should be an interesting class. We're going to try to start doing these a little bit faster, maybe a little bit shorter now that we're past, you know, quarterback and running back. There's a lot to talk about. Plus, we had some other news last week. But we're going to jump right into our big board. And congratulations to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant.
And his mom.
And his mom. They have won the NBA Finals. They are NBA champions. And we're
Can't take it away.
Cannot take that away from them. We are going to do, I guess it was inspired by the Golden State Warrior adding Kevin Durant. We are going to look at the top 10 free agent signings this year. Trying to see maybe if any of them can put a team over the top. We'll be back. All right. Kevin Durant signed last July 4th in the Hamptons.
Was it in the Hamptons?
Yeah, it was in the Hamptons. That's where he took his meetings.
Did you hear the story about how Dolan and Jackson went up there to pitch him, and they couldn't even get like their presentation to get set up?
No, I didn't hear that.
I'm making it up. All
right.
But that you could see how that's true.
Yeah, the least true part about it is that I know that he wasn't taking a meeting from Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Well, this big board that we're going to do here is based on that exact fact that Kevin Durant signed in the offseason, year one, he was now the NBA Finals MVP. I don't want to stick us to this. Like, we're going to do our best free agent signings this year. Maybe they're not going to be the Super Bowl MVP, but hopefully they have a big impact on a team that could improve because of them.
Right.
All right? So we're going to go 10 through 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like we always do for a big board. You went first last week.
I did.
I will take the first shot this week. Number 10, Logan Ryan. Patriots slot cornerback signed by the Titans. I think it was an underrated signing. The Titans, who, as we now know, you know, invested more in their offense. Corey Davis, they got drafted Adoree Jackson. They did let Jason McCourty go. They're trying to get younger at cornerback. Logan Ryan, there are going to be concerns about the speed on the outside, but he's a great slot corner, and he's a great tackler. Should add toughness to that secondary. Hopefully, and the Titans are a team on the rise. Definitely a team that has a chance to make the playoffs in a weak AFC South.
I left him off because he's tiny.
No, he is tiny. Number 9, not going to win Super Bowl MVP, but Ronald Leary.
I got him.
He was a guard for the Cowboys, not originally the starter, but he moved in. You're going to talk about him. I think he has a great chance on the Broncos to make a difference on a team that really needed O-line help.
Mm-hmm.
My number 8, Alshon Jeffrey.
I got him as well.
I had a lot of receivers and tight ends to choose from, so I left a few off the list. But I think Alshon Jeffrey probably is the most established of the group that was in the second tier, although I have two other wide receivers ahead of him. Number 7, Jabal Sheard.
Ooh.
Going from the Patriots to the Colts. It was hard to find defensive players. I saw a lot of offensive guys that I thought would make a difference, not as many defensive guys that signed this offseason. But Jabal Sheard, if he ends up being, you know, 10 to 12 sack guy for the Colts, that's going to make all the difference for a team that is desperate for a pass rush.
Absolutely.
And another team, you know, with Andrew Luck, you can't totally count them out of making a Super Bowl run at any time when they have that quarterback. And in that division. My number 6, Russell Okung. I think the chances of this working out are a little bit lower than some of the other ones. I think that the Chargers have more of an uphill battle in their division to make the playoffs. But they needed some stability at left tackle so badly. Russell Okung actually, when healthy, has been a pretty good left tackle, especially back for the Seahawks. His best years coincided with the years that they went to the Super Bowl, even though he was injured down the stretch for one of those runs. But if Russell Okung can help keep Phillip Rivers upright, also with Dan Feeney and Forrest Lamp, the new rookies added at guard, if the offensive line can stay, can keep Phillip Rivers upright and his receivers stay healthy, that offense has a chance to be great. And that defense was kind of secretly really getting good at points last year. That's my six. You're 10.
All right. This is outside the box.
All right.
There's no chance this guy wins a Super Bowl MVP.
No chance most of these guys win Super Bowl MVP.
But
the Tom Brady's going to win Super Bowl MVP.
Well, no, he's not. Because if he goes to Super Bowl, depending on who he plays, he's not going to. Whatever. Brown signing Joe Bitonio. I really like the signing, man.
He's not a free agent signing.
Was he was he re-signed?
He re-signed. You're thinking about Kevin Zeitler.
Right, okay. I did have the... I had both of them here. But yeah, there you go. You could say the same thing about J.C. Treader. I just like what the Browns did all around.
I agree.
They're not going to go anywhere, but... Listen. They could have a magical season. You never know. But they won't.
I'll tell you what. Whoever starts at quarterback should have a pretty cush job in that pocket.
Number 9. Giants getting Brandon Marshall.
All right, I'll talk about him.
Now, you have him?
Yeah. All right,
cool. We'll get to that. Number 8, Eagles signing Torrey Smith.
Okay. I don't think Torrey Smith's going to make the team.
No?
Nah, he's old, man.
Nah, man. 3 years, 15 M's. Come on.
None of the guaranteed, though.
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, he's got as good of a shot as anybody else to make the team. I mean,
they're
not deep at wide receiver. I know they did sign Alshon Jeffrey, but, I mean... He could be a fourth receiver.
Yeah, and he's got the speed. If he makes a couple big plays,
I mean,
that's all you need.
If you could just get up the field, just Carson Wentz, throw it up there and see what happens. I hope not, though. Number 7, same signing Larry Warford.
Oh, he was one of my guys that was on. I had like 4 guys that I put in that next tier that just barely missed. Warford's one of them.
I really like this signing, man. I think you know. The team isn't, for whatever reason, spending money defensively the way they should. So you have all this money invested in your quarterback. You want to keep Drew Brees upright for the last few years of his career? Larry Warford does that. Number 6, Bucs signing J.J. Wilcox. I think J.J. Wilcox is primed for a good season, man. He's 26. He's productive. The NFC South can go any direction. They never have a consistent... winner year after year. So, the Bucks. This could be the year. You saw what they did in the draft. This could be the year that the Bucks kind of seize the NFC South and make a run. J.J. Wilcox could be a big part of that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That seems like a little bit of a weird one.
Yeah?
Considering the names that were available to choose from.
There was a lot of names.
There was a lot
of names. I was just trying to pull the outside of the box ones.
That's fine. All right. I picked a different safety as my number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Jefferson to the Ravens.
Yeah.
Ravens have made... When the Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2012, they did so with a team that wasn't necessarily very good.
The roster. I agree.
So obviously Joe Flacco has it in him to get hot. Tony Jefferson is going to make it less necessary that Joe Flacco needs to be hot to win games. Really good safety, and he should pair well in that defense with Eric Weddle and the additions they made at corner. Pass rush is going to have to hold up, but they're the Ravens. They had a good defense last year. They should be good again this year. You're number 5.
My number 5 is the Bills signing Micah Hyde. Now,
that's a good one.
Obviously, the Bills have an uphill battle to climb if they want to not only make the playoffs but win the division. But Micah Hyde is a good choice. I mean, he's a good slot corner. He can. He's a good kick returner. He's a good punt returner. He's a solid player, man. I like it.
All right. My number four is Brandon Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Marshall in his second year with Denver, his first year as a starter with Denver, 102 catches, 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns. First year as a starter with the Dolphins, 86 catches, 1,000 yards, 3 touchdowns. First year with the Bears, 118 catches, 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns. First year with the Jets, 109 yards, 9 catches, 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns.
And that was only 2 seasons ago.
This is going to be every time he comes to a team, he balls out, and he eventually fades out. If he balls out with the Giants to the tune of 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns, that team is scary. He's not the number 1 receiver, so it's not quite going to get the number of targets, but Eli Manning has really never been. I've never seen a New York Giants receiver complain about the amount of targets he's getting.
It's true. Here's my concern.
Okay.
I worry about that kind of dynamic where Odell Beckham is upfield crying about not getting the ball and Brandon Marshall is. I worry about the amount of people that feel like they're gonna need the ball. There's a lot of mouth to feed. Odell Beckham, Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram. I mean, Rhett Ellison. I mean, there's so many pass catchers that I'm concerned that Marshall won't put up He doesn't even have to, but I mean, he won't. What would you say is a realistic season for Brandon Marshall?
1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns.
How many? Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, realistically.
I can't imagine him staying healthy for 16 games, having less than 10 touchdowns. Without Eli Manning being terrible.
There's also that.
All right. So you know what?
If
Brandon Marshall plays in 16 games and ends up with like 60 catches for 800 yards and 7 touchdowns, we'll be on the podcast next year talking about how the Giants need to draft a quarterback.
Not like a quarterback of the future, like a Sam Darnold, Josh Allen
quarterback.
I'm gonna put it on.
Brandon Marshall can get the ball.
I'm gonna put it on record right now. If Brandon Marshall doesn't crack 1,000 yards, I'm not gonna say double-digit touchdowns because that could get Eli Manning throws a lot of picks. But if Brandon Marshall doesn't crack 1,000 yards, I will officially say that Eli Manning is a bad quarterback and should not be a Hall of Famer.
Cool.
Because Brandon Marshall is definitely a Hall of Famer.
That's going to be a fun one when that comes up.
All right.
All right, you're 4.
Chris Baker going to the Buccaneers.
And on the Buccaneers.
I really like everything they did this offseason, man. Like, collectively, they got Durant. They got the collective equivalent of what Durant brought to the Warriors. Not to say that they were a 73-win team, but they were a team on the rise. They got a very good interior defensive lineman. They got...
You're a weird guy.
What?
You seem so into this.
I don't know what it is. I'm looking at what the Bucks did offensively, defensively. I really think that especially this is probably their best signing. Unless he's terrible and we don't realize.
It's Chris Baker, so...
He was good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Alright.
You're number 3?
Jared Cook.
Really?
Yeah, what was the Raiders... How would you make the Raiders offense from last year better other than getting a healthy...
Derek Carr. You had a tight end.
Well, you could have said running back, but they traded for Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
So, free agent signings, I can't put Marshawn Lynch on my list.
But... This is because they could have gone another direction. I think there were better tight ends that they could have gotten.
Maybe the other tight ends on my list as well.
I think we might have the same one.
Maybe so. Jared Cook did big things for the Packers last year. The Packers decided not to re-sign him. Oakland's gonna benefit from that. So they got Amari Cooper on the outside on one side, Crabtree on the other side.
Yep.
Jared Cook in the middle.
Marshawn Lynch
in the backfield. Other receivers that behind them that they could, and the best offensive line, or one of the top 3 offensive lines,
second best offensive line
in the NFL.
Yeah,
Derek Carr. He doesn't have anything to prove because he kind of proved it last year. But if he has anything left to prove, it'll be pretty easy to prove it with this group.
Yeah.
Number 3.
My number 3 is the Eagles signing Alshon Jeffrey.
All right.
I mean, what I like the most about this signing is that it's a 1-year deal, and. You know, Jeffrey's not only playing for his reputation, but obviously for a new contract. So, as a Giants fan, I am afraid of what could happen in Philadelphia. The only solace I have is that Carson Wentz is doo-doo.
Oh, my God. I told you about this, right? I wrote an article on Carson Wentz a couple weeks ago, and Philly fans just couldn't
but they're terrible
hear
people.
The argument.
They're terrible people. They are not good people, okay? You don't have to worry about that, Rob. You did God's work here. I think we need to blame the Philly fans. But yeah, I like the signing. We're number two.
A team that I think is going to be really good,
mm-hmm.
really improved. And this signing, collectively, maybe they signed a Kevin Durant, but this is the one that put them over the top.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson to the Buccaneers.
We're just so high on the Buccaneers.
I am pretty high on the Buccaneers. I like Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson.
I'm not willing to say I like Jameis Winston just yet.
Well, I like him.
He's got to be a few years removed.
And with O.J. Howard, I just think that this offense should have.
And Chris Godwin, right?
Yes.
I mean,
this offense should just have firepower. Firepower on top of firepower on top of firepower. And really, Mike Evans is great. Evans is one of my favorite players in the league. O.J. Howard was like the number three guy on my big board. Chris Godwin was a receiver who I was really high on. I thought he should go at the top of the second round, if not late first. DeSean Jackson is the type of player who gives you the daggers the way that like Kevin Durant literally was giving daggers. This is the guy you throw the ball up to, you kill teams with. At any point, he could break out for a score. He's still young enough that I think he's... Oh, I wish I had looked this up before. I think he's already like the NFL or NFL's career leader in 60-yard touchdowns or tied for the most 60-yard touchdowns in NFL history. He's right there. And he's like... Is he 30?
No. I don't think so. I think he might be 28, maybe? How close am I? Let's see.
Let's see. He is 30.
Okay.
He is 30.
I was off. But whatever. How was that guy's second round pick?
Because he was tiny.
Well, still. Didn't he go to Cal?
Yeah, he was at Cal.
Yeah. That's crazy to me, but...
Jerry Rice has 23 touchdowns of 60-plus yards in NFL history. Sean Jackson has 22.
That's not a fluke. That's not a fluke.
And I don't think it's... I would imagine that he's going to pass it this year. Jameis Winston is not like shy about chucking the ball deep to a covered guy.
Yeah, triple coverage, he'll do it. So, that's interesting. I'm really high on the Bucks, man. I don't know what it is.
Right. Do you have DeSean Jackson on your list?
I didn't because I hate DeSean Jackson as a person.
Oh, you're a blood?
No.
Wait, is he a blood? Yeah, he's a blood.
Yeah, he's a blood.
Oh. What are you, a Crip?
I do look good in blue. I do. And I do like to dance. So that there's also that. All those years with the Eagles and Redskins, I haven't. The hate isn't gone yet. He's got to do it somewhere else first. My number two, you talked about him before, Broncos signing Ronald Leary. I just think that it's a good move, it's a good fit, and the Broncos are already, I'm not gonna say they're contenders, but I mean they've got the defense, they've got the offense, and they really needed help along the offensive line, and they got it. You're number one. I think your number one is my number one.
Martellus Bennett
to the Packers. I mean,
and most of this comes because the Packers, I think, are always that close to a championship. They're not quite the 73 win Warriors, but who else are you going to pick? As number one, and I think Martellus Bennett's going to be an upgrade over Jared Cook. And Jared Cook had some phenomenal moments during that playoff run.
Martellus Bennett has never gone somewhere and been good. Everywhere he's gone, he's always been good. No worse than solid. I mean, at Chicago, here with the Giants, the Patriots, Cowboys, wherever he's been.
I don't think he was good with the Cowboys, was he?
He was. I think though he might have got drafted by them, and he was, it's early on. And I mean, playing behind what's his name? Jason Witten. You're not gonna
have get my. Don't be calling Jason Witten. What's his name?
I'm blanking on the name. Sorry. I'm just saying, like, you're not gonna get many targets playing behind Jason Witten, unless you're.
Yeah. Since he left Dallas, you know, he never recorded more than 33 catches in a year. Never had more than 4 touchdowns in a year. Since he left Dallas,
mm-hmm.
55 catches, 5 touchdowns with the Giants. You know, he had 3 great years with the Bears. 65 catches, 5 touchdowns, 90 catches, 6 touchdowns, 53 catches, 3 touchdowns, and then last year with the Patriots, 55 catches and 7 touchdowns.
Marty B is gonna flourish in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. I mean, you lock it in. He's healthy. He's going to be good.
Yeah.
And Rodgers is going to get the most out of him. Although I do think that Jared Cook kind of fit the Packers a little bit better, just in terms of his deep speed.
Mm.
Just that offense, it seemed like... That offense was at its best when... Oh, what the hell was that guy's name? The tight end. I was about to call him Andrew Quarles, but I know it wasn't Andrew Quarles. It was the guy who started over Andrew
Richard Quarles. Rodgers?
Nope.
What, you can talk about farther back?
Jermichael Finley.
Oh, when he...
Like, that was the best option they had at tight end when he was that...
He was great. He broke his neck, I mean, unfortunately.
Jared Cook was closer to that, but, you know, Jared Cook, of course, was unreliable, even though he did come up big in some big moments.
Yeah.
Martellus Bennett is definitely a better player, better blocker, and he should have a tremendous impact on that.
And he knows how to get... He finds ways to get open.
How did it take us 20 minutes to do this
big board? No idea.
It's so hot. We gotta end this right now.
Yeah. It's a sauna in here.
Yeah. It's been the NFL Draft Podcast. Email us at draftpodcast@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter @NFL Draft Podcast.